This is the Quality News Network. Al-Qaeda announced today that a new video from Osama bin Laden will be released soon, just days ahead of next week's sixth anniversary of the September 11th terrorist attacks. The Site Institute said his beard is devoid of gray hair, dyed almost entirely black to make him look younger. The Department of Homeland Security has no credible information of an imminent threat to the U.S. German authorities are searching for more suspects who may be connected to a series of thwarted terrorist bombings there. Places frequented by large numbers of German and Americans were the intended targets. U.S. and Iraqi forces have launched a massive operation targeting al-Qaeda in northern Iraq. At least 26,000 troops are involved. Today, six insurgents were killed. Another 25 of them were arrested. Baghdad authorities say clashes between insurgents and U.S. and Iraqi special forces this morning in a western neighborhood killed at least 14. The Pentagon says 40 militants were killed in a 12-hour battle yesterday in southern Afghanistan. Israeli President Shimon Peres says he is, quote, more optimistic, end quote, about the prospect of peace with the Palestinians. Peres met today with Pope Benedict and Italian leaders in Rome. Israeli warplanes crossed into Syrian territory this morning and bombed a deserted area, according to Syrian news agencies. Syria fired surface-to-air missiles but missed the fighter jets. 16 Saudi Arabian prisoners released from Guantanamo Bay arrived in Riyadh today. The White House has stated repeatedly that the U.S. doesn't want to be the world's babysitter. Many home countries are reluctantly taking detainees back. 11 New Jersey officials have been arrested in an FBI corruption probe, including a mayor and state lawmakers. Democratic campaign donor Norman Hsu, who gave money to Senator Hillary Clinton as well as others, didn't appear in court yesterday. Authorities have expanded the search for missing adventurer Steve Fawcett. His small plane disappeared over in the Nevada desert on Monday on Labor Day. The search is covering 10,000 square miles. That's an area about the size of Connecticut. And the world's paying tribute today to Luciano Pavarotti. The 71-year-old tenor died this morning in Italy from complications brought on by pancreatic cancer. You're listening to the Quality News Network. Coming up shortly, science and business news, a bit of an upbeat day on Wall Street today.
Hi, I'm Brian Gingrich of Monterey Mattress Company. The only way to travel is by using the very best, and the very best in a major sleep product is any mattress from Monterey Mattress Company. Literally serving all parts of the world, we have been building the finest latex foam and innerspring mattresses for well over 20 years. Using our world-famous hotels as a measuring stick, you'll more often hear the name Monterey Mattress, as we supply over 100 resort hotels in this area. Far exceeding industry standards, these mattresses are available to you at factory prices. In addition to the local recognition, Monterey Mattress Company has been shipping beds worldwide to the many visitors who have experienced a great night's sleep here. This is the ultimate endorsement enjoyed by very few businesses. Monterey Mattress Company. We simply build the best, whether for your home or world-renowned resorts. Visit us today at 1714 Contra Costa in Sand City or on the World Wide Web at MontereyMattress.com. Sleep like a panda bear.
Black women are almost twice as likely to die of breast cancer than white women. A new study provides clues to the biological cause of the high death rate. Black women's tumors apparently fail to respond to commonly given hormone treatments. In Washington, D.C., tens of thousands of Chinese-made condoms distributed in an anti-AIDS campaign have been rejected. Packaging of the condoms has been found to be defective. President Bush met with the president of China at the Asia-Pacific Economic Cooperation Summit in Australia today. The two leaders called for more cooperation in fighting climate change without hurting economic growth. The Justice Department has ruled that ISPs may charge fees for priority web traffic. The Mortgage Bankers Association reports that this spring the number of homeowners receiving foreclosure notices was up to a record high. It's the third record all-time high in as many quarters. The European Central Bank kept interest rates at 4% when the agency met today in Germany. The bank also injected $57.4 billion into the financial system. New reports out today revised worker productivity up and showed a decrease in jobless claims. At the close of Wall Street today, the Dow had gained 58 points on that news to close at 13,363. The NASDAQ was up 8, and the S&P 500 was ahead 6. There's more at QualityNewsNetwork.com. I'm Michael Coleman. We'll be right back.
Gather around the radio, kids. It's time for Strictly Confidential. It's the homosexual agenda on steroids, putting the dominionists and the loyal Bushies and the rest of America's underbelly on notice that the GLBT community is simply not going to take it anymore. So, just like gay kryptonite, here's Peter Godbold.
Good evening, America, and welcome to Verse 4, Chapter 4, Page 4, and Book 4 of Strictly Confidential on the Head On Radio Network. I am your host, Peter Godbold, and I am so glad to have you along for the GLBT version of Conversation Radio. I am so pleased to have DJ Glenn Rivera here tonight. He is our guest this evening. He is the world's most fabulous DJ. He'll be joining us at 10 p.m. Eastern, and he'll be the first in a series of guests that will provide the hearts and minds of real, live, honest-to-God, everyday GLBT folks. These guests are going to be from all walks of life in the gay community, and it's time we put real voices that the mainstream media's constant word of the use of the word gay, we just need to put voices with it.
Is everybody gay? Is this a Twilight Zone?
I hope these guests will help us all to better understand each other and to open a dialogue that you're going to find no place else on the Internet. To the best of my knowledge, this is the first time this has ever been done. The phone lines are throughout the evening. You can reach us toll-free at 877, the number 4 head-on, or 877-443-2366. If you have a toll-free calling plan, you can save us a nickel and dial 304-658-5453 in West Virginia. And I'm receiving email at peter@headonradionetwork.com. We'd love to have you in the chat room. The chat room has the most delightful, progressive, smartest people in the country there. The chat room is available by going to headonradionetwork.com. That's headonradionetwork.com. And just hit the chat button and create your name and join us. We'd love to have you there. I want to thank you for all the wonderful emails and phone calls I've received this week. Strictly Confidential, we've actually gotten through a whole week. And with the exception of Tuesday, a storm knocked out the communications that day to the studio. So with the exception of Tuesday, the week has just gone perfectly, and I'm so pleased. And getting back to the interview with Glenn, I'm probably more nervous about it than he is. I just hold the guy in awe. I really do. First up, gay pride. This is a letter that was sent in from a mother, and I just thought it was wonderful. I wanted to share with you and the world how proud I am of my son. He finally came out to his father today. It was his way of celebrating Gay Pride Day. His father said, "No way!" and then gave him a big hug. It was a reaction my son was most hoping for, but not the reaction he expected. I've known for many years that my son is gay, and he's also known that his mom is bi. We've always been open and honest with each other, and I'm crying right now, tears of pride and relief. I'm so glad it went well for him today. It's a loving mother. And in the men in tight department, there are two gay umpires in the Major League Baseball. Well, I know that because a fellow named Tyler Hoffman, who's a gay minor league umpire, knows them well and has face-to-face contact with them, trades emails often. He also says they're not likely to come out anytime in the near future because of the way things are in baseball. Makes you wonder if it's a double entendre when they scream, "You're out!" And this is what I've been dreading. I have put off doing this story, actually, most of the week. It's a difficult story for me to do because it was so upsetting for me. And in fact, I even hesitated to do it tonight because I imagine we have some new listeners. Glenn Rivera's following is far and wide, and I imagine some of them have joined us this evening for Glenn. But nonetheless, I need to get this out. I don't want it to be too much of a downer, but it's a story that must be told. Now, often when I'm doing news information like this, I will try to paraphrase it somewhat to make it sound less like script. But this particular piece is written by a fellow named Ali Healy. He's the head of the Iraq LGBT in England right now, because there's a fatwa out to kill him from the Grand Ayatollah. But this is so touching and disturbing that I just need to do this tonight. You know, the Bush administration has been promising us a new and free Iraq, and how much better it will be for the people, and they're going to greet us with flowers in the streets. And the reality of the situation is that women are persecuted far more than they ever were in the past. They're no longer allowed to receive educations. They're back to having the veils. Everyone's under constant threat of death. It's very serious for us LGBT folks. And it's very serious for us because there is, at this point, a sexual extermination or sexual cleansing in progress. Let me tell you the story. During the period of Saddam Hussein, well, in 1995, actually, there was only one known civilian LGBT killed under Saddam. And this is Ali Hadi, head of the Iraqi LGBT, speaking. And since its inception, group in 2005, he's now living in exile in London, as I said. Saddam fell in 2003. And after Saddam fell and we went over there, 85 known LGBT deaths have been reported to us. I believe the actual number to be far higher. Hussein's removal has made all LGBT people's position far worse. Initially, with all the talk of democracy, I never thought that LGBTs would become death targets, shot like dogs in the street, or that sexual cleansing would be allowed. But so it is. He goes on to say, I didn't face any discrimination under Saddam's regime. He is corroborating other reports that homosexuality was generally tolerated under the dictator. As long as you were discreet about it, it was pretty much okay. But if he goes back to Iraq now, he will be executed, since he heads this organization to try to help. As I said, there's a fatwa, a death warrant against him for the Ayatollah. He stays in close contact with the LGBT community there, reporting their situation to the outside world. Gay life in Iraq, and this is a quote, is hell. The community is completely underground, and people find it necessary to modify their behavior and appearance just to survive. Shia squads roam, hunt down, and kill LGBTs at will. Kidnapping, abduction, torture, blackmail, execution, all manner of abuse occurs on a daily basis, not the least in cities like Najaf and Karbala and Basra, Baghdad. Now, highly feminine, visible feminine gay folks, and also publicly recognized homosexuals, including prostitutes, are the main targets. Iraqi LGBT helps organize an underground network of safe houses, or havens, to harbor the gays in as many Iraqi cities as possible. Also gathers information in order to publicize the atrocities via media and by writing letters to human rights organizations and government officials worldwide. They just have the unfulfilled hope that it's going to generate international pressure. I certainly don't think any international pressure is going to come from the United States. Much of the recent post-Saddam surge in anti-gay violence, as I mentioned earlier, is related to the Shia leader, Grand Ayatollah Ali Sistani. And he's issued a death warrant, a death fatwa to gays and lesbian sexuals. It was issued in October 2005. He's calling for the execution of all gay people in the most severe possible way. Now, there was an international outcry. Of course, the United States did not participate in that. He removed the fatwa from his website, but he did not rescind it. So it remains in full force, and it's the spiritual sanction of the death squads, and they openly are murdering LGBT folks. And there's a new fatwa just released that's for Holly himself, who's in England. Unfortunately, the Iraqi government refuses down on the killers or to take any action to protect its gay citizens. In Holly's eyes, the regime dominated by the Shia fanatics and homophobics are intent on dragging the country back into the dark ages. Several members of government, notably the political representatives of al-Sadr movement and the Supreme Council for Islamic Revolution, are linked to the anti-gay death squads. Both of those parties have militias, and they're responsible for the execution-style killing of not only LGBT Iraqis, but also of Sunnis and trade unionists and unveiled women and men wearing shorts or men with Western-style haircuts. Iraq has truly descended into hell. Hilly goes on to tell us there are no pro-gay voices in the government at all. Everyone is afraid of the predominant Iraq Shias. They've infiltrated the Ministry of the Interior and also the police. And many of the atrocities are openly carried out in broad daylight by men wearing official uniforms. He believes that they receive the orders to kill these people directly from the Minister of Interior himself. Now, it comes as no surprise to hear that the Iraqi government representative, the UN was brought this up. His response, the Iraqi government representative's response to the UN about the surge in anti-gay killings, was simply, "There was information in this report that we cannot accept in Iraq. It spoke about the phenomenon of homosexuality and giving homosexuals rights. Such statements are not suitable to the Iraq society. This is rejected." Lord help us. You know, the fundamentalist Christians, the ultra-Orthodox Jews, the fundamentalist extremist ones, God deliver us from the fundamentalists of every faith. Murder is their technique. Intolerance is their technique. It's a shame. It proves that the human rights situation's deteriorated under this new regime, especially for minorities, and they all feel threatened and they have no rights. There's no reference to gay folks at all in the government policy. It's as if we do not exist. I think we as American GLBTs understand that feeling. There are no protections under the law, and Shia religious leaders have so much influence in decision-making. In other words, the religion is running the government, and like our religions here, they hate us. Except there, they have the right to just murder you in broad daylight. Here they kill you with 1,000 paper cuts and leave their little redneck darlings to kill us. Now, with the Iraq's West-backed government part of the problem, meaning the United States, he doesn't look for help from the U.S. or the United Kingdom forces on the ground to help or to intervene at all when LGBTs are victims of violence, and the anarchy is just endemic. We don't count on the soldiers to help because in many cases we've seen the coalition forces being hostile toward the Iraq LGBT community. And the Americans and British governments, both of the troops, seem to let the issue of LGBT people fall by the wayside. This is a very sad line. It's as if we are not human at all. God help them. And there was a report issued recently that it's doubtful whether the UN can achieve in any practical terms any solution. He's hoping the UN will intervene. He's been trying to put pressure on them, but he doesn't expect anything. They need international support, but without the United States involved, and they will never be involved as long as this bastard is in office. They're in a pretty helpless situation. He says it won't improve soon. The life for LGBT people in Iraq is going to continue to become more and more dangerous. The fatwa is to eliminate them. It's from the population at all. Shows a complete lack of understanding. And it's the old thing about they choose to be gay, so if we kill them all, then nobody else is going to choose that. Gay people are like Tostitos or what are those things, Doritos. It's like we'll make more. I mean, you can never get rid of us. It's funny, every gay person I ever met grew up in a heterosexual family. We don't have with creating them. They just seem to come with the territory. I just have one more section here. Anwar, 34, a taxi driver and a member of the Iraqi LGBT, he helped one of the group's safe houses in Najif, disappeared in January 07. He was arrested in his cab at a checkpoint by the police. His body was found in March 07. He had been subjected to an execution-style killing, a gay man. Dory, 29, a tailor, kidnapped in Karbala, February 07. He'd received many death threats by letters, a phone accusing him of leading a gay life. He was found dead a few days later, his body mutilated and his head severed, gay man. Hazim, 21, a well-known gay man, was seized by police from his home in Baghdad. His family was forced to leave his home, and his body was subsequently found with multiple gunshots to the head. By the way, these gunshots to the head, they often do that in public. Saif, 25, he's an Iraqi police translator. He was kidnapped in a Sunni neighborhood by Baghdad mass men from the Ministry of Interior. His body was found several days later, his head cut off. 45, a gay chef living in an unpronounceable city. It's a mainly Shia neighborhood. The Sadr military kidnapped him, Sadr military, in November 06, and his decaying body was found in February 07. Khalid, 19, college student, kidnapped 06. Family found his tortured and burned remains a few months later. Hassan, a transvestite, also known as Tamra, worked in the fashion industry designing women's clothes, and she was seized on the street by Islamic Death Squad and hung in a public square on a holy religious day. His body was mutilated and cut up, and when his bride to help him, he was also murdered. And Alan, a Christian Iraqi, received death threats for being gay. He was eventually kidnapped and executed. Lord, what is the world coming to? What have we done to that country? It'll be 1,000 years before we're forgiven for that. If ever, this is an atrocity on the scale of Hitler. You know, the estimates now among credible institutions, there's over 650,000 Iraqi citizens displaced, actually dead. The current figures that oversee and have fled the country and are trying to find housing. And, of course, the United States, the United Kingdom, are both being condemned for refusing to allow asylum, especially to the gay Iraqis, especially. They're only allowing asylum in the U.S. for 7,000 Iraqis out of 7 million, 7,000. And all of those guys have to be straight. It's hard to take. Now, if you'd like to find out more about this, there's a huge amount of information. Go to IraqiLGBT@yahoo.com. I'm sorry, yahoo.co.uk. That's IraqiGBT@yahoo.co.uk. And Bob, let's run a little break here, and then we'll continue after the break.
This is the Head On Radio Network, The Horn.
There's one place on the web you can go that's so topical you can apply it liberally. WD40.com. WDYAD40.com. Clyde, Wally, and Doofy are there. They're working hard every day to give you updates in news, politics, and a great sense of humor. So stop on by and see the boys at WD40.com. A place where you can raise your voice and be heard. WD40.com. Your one-stop shop for all things progressive.
It must have been prayer meeting with Reverend Brother Bob.
See, hey, Peter, welcome to the program.
You absolutely know that you cannot mention Robert Sunday without conjuring me. This is a known fact.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Right. Well, sometimes I do it on purpose.
You know, the thing that kills me, you know, God just continues to punk Robert Sunday. After time, after time. And it goes back for years. You know, let's just talk a minute about his business venture. From 91 to 94, he was involved in something called Calo Vita. And it was a multi-level marketing company that breathed that pyramid.
Yeah, like Amway.
Sold beauty products and healthcare products. Oh, they had a product called Sea of Galilee Mud Mask.
No, they did not.
Oh, yes, they did.
You know.
Bob, as a heart attack, I'm serious.
Sea of Galilee mud mass?
Oh, yeah. It was part of the product line.
Prayer meeting edition of Head On with Bob Kincaid, Wednesday nights, 6 to 9 p.m. here on the Head On Radio Network.
There's a place where a total stranger will give their blood to save your life. There's a place where someone you never knew will save your child from drowning. A place where people will give you food and shelter after a flood. There's a place where, when you need it most, someone will reach out their hand, put it across your shoulder and say, "Everything's going to be okay." That place is called America, where we look out for each other. And it's up to us to keep it that way. When you help the American Red Cross, you help America. Call 1-800-RED-CROSS or visit redcross.org today.
This is the Head On Radio Network, The Horn.
The music.
Oh, I hate to hear that fade. I so love that. It's okay. Go ahead and fade it. But oh, that just kicks into me. Thank you, Bob. Thank you. I have something here from Teresa in Ontario. I got a very nice email from her today. And she loves the show, and I love her right back. She sounds like a delightful woman. I hope I hear from Oh, and by the way, the telephone numbers are 877, the number 4, head on, or 877-443-2366. Or if you have a toll-free calling plan, it's 304-658-5453. That rings in West Virginia. And also, we're chatting at the headonradionetwork.com. Just click on chat. Once you get there, register your chat name and pop right in. They'll love you. Teresa sent me this interesting article. A Toronto counselor, her name is Kyle Ray, maybe a woman, I never figured it out from reading it, officiated at opening ceremonies at Pride Week this past Monday, and announced that all the official events would be interpreted into American Sign Language. And even the singers were asked to submit the lyrics to their songs so that the signing to the deaf people so that the deaf people in the concert could hear it. Now, this ASL News, the American Sign Language, is very heartening. It didn't really drive home a point, though. There's a more serious message behind it, and that is that deaf people are affected by HIV rates, HIV/AIDS at a much higher rate than hearing people. Statistics are slim, but activate that deaf people are actually getting the disease at a rate 2 to 10 times higher than hearing people, and they suspect that the numbers are high because too many members of the deaf community are missing the nuances of safe sex messages and the risks associated with intravenous drug use. The health department suggests that 1 in 7 deaf people has a history of substance abuse compared to 1 in 10 in the hearing population. For decades up there, the deaf outreach program has been poorly funded, and it's been a branch of the Ontario Association of the struggle to get the complex message of AIDS and HIV transmission out and safe sex practices to thousands of deaf Canadians and who don't really fully understand the issues. It's spreading rapidly because of lack of information. Now, they've really got their work cut out for them. With American Sign Language, once you have deaf people are paying attention and you're in an environment where they can watch you do signing, the concepts for avoiding HIV can be easily explained using visual sign language. It's not that the concepts cannot be presented using ASL. It's just that they're rarely presented. Television commercials don't do that, provide signing, nor do the schools half the time. There are a lot of issues associated with being deaf and being gay at the same time, as many layered. It's about access to information, and a lot of times their parents don't sign to them. But this is remarkable. One of the folks commented at the end of the article, "Despite being deaf, I'm happy." The person says, "Personally, I have had such a great life because I am deaf and because I am gay." Let me read that again. Because, not in spite of. What a wonderful thing. I'm not deaf. That's obvious. I'm doing a radio program, but I am gay. And I have to tell you that there's no way I would trade that for the world. It has made me what I am. You know, what doesn't kill us makes us stronger. And it certainly made me a different person. It certainly has. Let's see. The Da Vinci Code. Yes. That is up again. The Da Vinci Code is under investigation by the Catholic Church. This is too funny. This is fiction. The Da Vinci Code is fed. Do you get it? It's more than a year after the premiere, but the Da Vinci Code's being investigated by Italian state attorneys on the ground that it's obscene from a religious perspective. Now, earlier in the year, there was a complaint against the film. It was filed by a group of clergy in Italy, and the state prosecutor's office said they were going to open a criminal investigation into the film because it violates Article 528 of Italy's penal code. And it names 10 people, including director Ron Howard. And, of course, this means it's going to go to court. Clear what the unnamed defendants or unnamed complainants are saying. They're not releasing the exact wording of the complaint. So. But if they're found guilty, the defendants will have to have a criminal record, and they'll face jail time of up to 3 years and a fine. And this is all because the Catholic Church doesn't understand that it's fiction. Excuse me, but the Left Behind series, which was huge in the United States, was offensive to me. It portrayed this macho shoot-'em-up Christ. It inspired video games that people can play on their whatever units people are using. I'm not part of that. But in any case, you know, in these video games, you got points by shooting homosexuals and Jews, because, you know, those are the bad guys. Let me go on. The Left Behind series is all about the second coming of Christ and revelations, and everybody's going to be raptured, and suddenly people, you know, disappear, and their clothes are nicely folded on wherever they were sitting, and this sort of thing. But it was fiction. But the thing is that all the Christians believed it was fact. And so then you have another Christian fiction story they don't particularly like, because it portrayed a Jesus that, well, a much more feminine, less aggressive, and hateful Jesus, which is just incompatible with anything they can take. They're filing this 13 months after the film debuted. It's interesting, though, that we're just about to head back over to Italy and start filming the sequel to The Da Vinci Code. The sequel is going to be called Angels and Demons. And I suppose they just didn't want them back in Italy, because if they set foot on Italian soil, they'll be arrested. And in the Texas, the Texas Governor Rick Perry has signed into law House Bill 3678, and it's the Religious Viewpoint Anti-Discrimination Act. And never mind free speech, they needed this act. It says it creates a model policy for schools on dealing with students who express religious beliefs verbally. The new law goes into effect September the 1st, and it specifically protects students from being punished simply because they expressed a religious viewpoint verbally or in a class assignment. Now, what this is code for little Johnny cannot be punished because he says, "You're damn queer and you're going to go to hell." He can't be punished for